we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning, Brevard County. Welcome to Room 222. Welcome to February 22nd, 222, 2018. We are glad that you have chosen to make this a part of your day. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And today on the Refresh Radio broadcast, we are praying that the Word of God will refresh, revive, and renew you spiritually, so that as you go about this day, you're not limping along, just dragging along, hoping to survive at the end of the day, but instead you are going forth in victory, empowered by the Word of God and the omnipotent, almighty God of His Word, and that you are successfully pushing back the forces of darkness in your own life and plundering the kingdom of darkness by reaching others with the love of Jesus Christ. 165 North Grove Street is our address at Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at our church. There's plenty of room available, but I will tell you that God loves Merritt Assembly of God just as He does every one of His Bible preaching churches. We're not a perfect church, but we are a church that loves God and loves people and wants to serve them in a manner in which they are going to accept Him as Lord and Savior and glorify Him. We have been talking for quite some time about this progressive relationship that we have with God, the Holy Spirit. And we've been in Galatians going primarily through chapter 5 here for the last prolonged period of time, discussing the fruit of the Spirit, and we are coming to the end of that today. But we're beginning the end of that. Let me rephrase that. We are not finishing the fruit of the Spirit today, but we are in the home stretch, if you will. But we have talked about several things in our relationship with the Spirit of God, about having begun our life with the Spirit. We received the Spirit by faith. We have been begun our walk in the Spirit, that He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, from chapter 3, that we received the promise of the Spirit through faith, that in chapter 4, we are because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. In chapter 5, that we through the Spirit, in verse number 5, eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. Not to use that as a law of liberty for sin, but that instead we use it as a liberty to walk in obedience and to serve one another. In chapter 5, verse number 16, we talked about walking in the Spirit so that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In chapter 17, we saw that the Spirit and the flesh are warring against one another with the object of which one will control the things that we want to do. In chapter 5, verse number 18, we discussed how we are led by the Spirit. And then in chapter 5, verses 22 and through 23, we have been talking about that as we abide in the Spirit, that the Spirit of God produces spiritual fruit in our lives. That's just a brief little recap of where we've come. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, is where we finished yesterday. And today we are going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control, as it's translated in the New King James Version. It's temperance in the King James Version. And so we're going to spend a couple of days talking about this extremely frightening concept of self-control. In our modern society, we have come to expect that it's acceptable to live out of control. And I want you to understand that that is not the reality. That when God comes onto the scene, there is no such thing as chaos. There is nothing in his kingdom that is out of control. And that when he comes into a person's life, things that were out of order, things that were running out of control, that they suddenly will begin to be controlled. Just a couple of a couple of scriptural examples that shows how God can come into a situation that would be out of someone else's control, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and an uncontrollable situation becomes controllable. The first thing I'd like to point out to you is on his triumphal entry. He rides into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey that had never been ridden. Now, if you're a city person, you read that and it does not spark any sort of perception about the authority of God in an uncontrollable situation. But if you've ever been on a farm or ever been around a rodeo, you find that an animal like that, that has never been ridden, that controlling process where the will of that beast of burden is brought into subjection to the person who is riding it, that's a violent process. You know, there's a reason why those bulls and bucking broncos in the rodeo buck the way that they do. Now, part of it has to do with the cattle prod, the electric shock that they give those animals, that just creates an angry demeanor in them, just the same way as if somebody shocked you and very sensitive parts of your body would agitate you. But the reality is no one, or very few times, have they been successfully ridden. In order to make an animal tame, someone comes along and they grab the reins with such an authority that they said, no matter what you do in this situation, I'm going to remain on top, and you are going to become a valuable asset. Now, I want you to know that there is nothing in the scriptures that describes that when Jesus got onto that donkey, that there was a rodeo that took place before that dominion. Instead, Jesus, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this donkey was created for such a time as that, that untamed donkey came under control. Since we're talking about things that are untamed, let's talk about the tongue. Do you realize that James says that the tongue by man is untamable, but with God, he can tame even the tongue. He can tame even your tongue, my tongue, so that it is a vessel that blesses and not curses. I was having this discussion with one of my family members when I was in Tulsa, and we were talking about how things that used to not be permissible or acceptable speech in the life of a believer, that all of a sudden, vernacular of the world is suddenly acceptable inside the body of Christ. And I want you to know, I don't think that that is the reality of what God is wanting us. I believe that there is supposed to be a different style of speech. that our vocabulary should be different from the world. I believe that the way in which we speak ought to be different from the world, because God has brought divine control into our heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think that if worldly language, and by that I mean profanity, cursing, constantly expressing anger, I believe that if those things are coming out of your mouth, they're supposed to be a warning sign to us that there's something that needs to be corrected in our heart. When my mother was in the hospital, they were taking all sorts of tests, running all sorts of tests, taking all sorts of blood, because that was the way that the body would declare to the physicians what needed to be addressed. And so they would then prescribe the medication that would take care of the issue, so that the body would be sending forth the communication that says, I'm now healthy. I'm now healthy. God wants us to be able to control our tongue so that it doesn't sound like an infected heart spiritually, the way that the world does. Does that make sense? God wants us to be able to control the things that we say. If you're constantly flying off the handle, there's a spiritual problem. The Holy Spirit wants you to produce spiritual fruit. One of the other situations, not only about the untamed donkey, not only about the taming of the tongue, but there was a time when Jesus was going with the disciples across the sea, and a very intense storm, it arose. Now, I don't believe there was anything natural about that storm. I believe that it was an attack that was not barometric in origin, but that it was spiritual in origin. It was meant to prevent Jesus from getting to the other side. Now, Jesus knew this, that the plans of God will not be thwarted. Someone needs to hear that word this morning, that God's plans will not be undermined. They will not be hindered. They will not be set aside so that the devil's plans rule and reign instead. So Jesus was sound asleep up in the front of the boat, and the disciples were rowing. Okay. Now I want you to understand, they were there as servants. They were the masters of that domain. Jesus was a carpenter and they were fishermen. They were the ones who understood navigation. I mean, Jesus knew that as well, but he was allowing them to operate in their strengths. And they came into a storm that was beyond anything they'd ever experienced. And their natural conclusion was, we're going to die. Jesus, don't you care that we're going to perish in the midst of this storm? Isn't it interesting that the devil will always try and convince people that when life gets out of control, it is because Jesus doesn't care? It's exactly the opposite. Jesus cares for you so much that he says, cast your cares upon me. Cast them upon me. I'm able to handle the biggest and the baddest of your problems. Okay? So please don't think that when life is outside of your control, that it is outside of God's control. Jesus, after he heard them accuse him of not caring, he stood up in the boat and he spoke to the storm and he said, peace, be still. And immediately the storm subsided. Guess what, folks? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I believe that God wants to operate in our life with such authority that every area of our life that is out of control, I believe he's already got a word to bring that situation under control. Every situation. Everybody's got an area of their life that may be under less dominion than what they would care for it to be. Whether it's your spiritual life, it might be your thought life, it might be your time management, it may be dietary, it may be verbal, it may be relationships. There's a whole array. It might be financial. Okay. You know, there's an old saying, you know, that they had some money and it was burning a hole in their pocket. You know, there are some people who do not know how to live a controlled life financially. And God can help even. And so Jesus got up and he spoke to the storm. He didn't speak to the symptoms. He spoke to the cause of the storm. And when he did that, the symptoms went away. Okay? A lot of times we just want the problem solved as quickly as we can get them solved, but we never deal with the underlying cause of the problems in the first place. And I'm of the mindset, I don't want to just deal with the symptoms. I want to deal with the root problem, because I don't know. I'm the type of guy that when I've experienced a problem, I don't ever want to have to go through that again. Call me silly, but I want to, if there was an area that was under demonic control at one point in time and now it's under God's control, I want to leave it under God's control. I want it to be such a stronghold for God that the enemy can't even get close to bringing a successful attack in that area of my life again. Okay? Now, here's the reason that I believe that that storm was spiritual in nature and not just a natural storm. It was because on the other side, the side that Jesus was going to, there was a man who was living an out-of-control life. He could no longer live with his family, so he lived out of control in the wilderness, in the cemetery. He lived outside of the controlling of his clothing. He constantly roamed this community without any covering, without any clothing on at all. He lived out of control mentally and emotionally, so that he would be crying out in the middle of the night. No man could control him. They had tried binding him with chains, and yet he lived in such an out-of-control manner that even the chains could not control him. He was demon-possessed, so he was out of control spiritually. He was out of control mentally. He was out of control relationally. He was out of control verbally. He was out of control geographically. His entire life was out of control. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and the demons realize that when Jesus comes onto the scene, that their jurisdiction is getting ready to shrink, their authority is getting ready to be revoked, and that they are getting ready to be expelled from that region. And so they go, and the demons speak to Jesus and say, "And what do you want with us?" And the man came, and he was on his knees. "Why are you here? What could you possibly want with this person who is out of control and is a shame to a community instead of a testimony to the community? Jesus, what could you possibly want with this person that is living out of control in so many areas?" Can I tell you that Jesus specializes in turning chaos into order and causing light to overpower the darkness? What was Jesus doing there that day? The same thing that he did every single solitary day. He was seeking to save that which was lost. He was going to the cross, not because we had it all under control, but because everybody was out of control spiritually. And they needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. You needed a Savior. And so what happens is Jesus is there, and the demons already knew what the outcome was. They knew, we're leaving. When God shows up on the scene, the things of hell cannot stand. That is what makes heaven such a wonderful place. Jesus is on the throne, and nothing of hell, nothing demonic, nothing from Satan, nothing of deception or death or sickness or sorrow is going to be able to survive in heaven, because Jesus is going to rule and reign there. And so the people ran off because the demons were allowed to enter into a herd of swine. They ran off the cliff. They perished, and the people who were in charge of the pigs went and told the owners of the pigs and about everything that had been said and done. And when they got back, they found that the man who had terrorized that community was now sitting at Jesus' feet. He was in his right mind, and he was clothed. He wasn't bound with chains. He had no desire to go and live in the cemetery any longer. He wasn't a raving maniac. Instead, he was clothed, sitting at Jesus' feet, and in his right mind, because Jesus had just brought control to an uncontrollable situation. In fact, he said that his desire was to travel with Jesus. And Jesus said, what I want you to do is I want you to go back to your family a changed man. What a glorious testimony. What a absolutely stellar transformation was taking place, because God can move in the most out of control situations in such a manner that it brings a glorious testimony. You may think that the problem that you're facing, you know, whether it's a sickness that is out of control, whether it's finances out of control, whether it's a relationship that's out of control, whether it's a child that's out of control, you might think there is no hope for the situation. And yet when you read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and you read that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, that as the Spirit of God is showing up on the scene, all of a sudden there is a pervasive amount of control that is penetrating the strongholds of the enemy. There's hope and there's faith. So today, if you've got a loved one that is, it's, listen, it might not be a kid. It might be an adult. I've known adults with kids who had a drug addiction that was out of control. I love sharing testimonies about people who were living an out of control life spiritually, and now they are pillars in the church. I mean, rock solid believers who would do anything for anyone so that person could experience the blessing of a self-controlled life under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound glorious? Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody drove their vehicles under control? There wouldn't be any accidents. if they conducted their finances with self-control, there wouldn't be any or vehicle repossessions. There wouldn't be any collection agencies. There wouldn't be any evictions or home repossessions. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if people conducted their relationships under control so that there wouldn't be any divorces because of infidelity or immorality that was going on? Wouldn't it be great if we operated under, it sounds like a fantasy, but I want you to know with God, it's a reality. And so when we read that in the scripture and we find out that the owner of the herd of swine that ran off the cliff and died, when they come back and they saw the tangible manifestation of the person who had terrorized the entire community, now living under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at his feet, not because he's chained there, but because he wants to be there, clothed, not because someone forcibly dressed him, but he realized, hey, I need to be properly attired, in his right mind, so that he was able to process thoughts correctly instead of being trapped in the enemy's loop of insanity. When they came back and they found him in that situation, they said, Jesus, we need you to leave our area. You say, that makes no sense to me. Folks, it doesn't make any more sense in that day than it does in our day when people say, we don't want prayer being a high profile in our community unless there's a tragedy that occurs. We don't want God's control because that means that he's going to take some things in our life that are out of order, and he's going to put them in the order that he wants. You've got to understand that it is a threat to the devil's free reign in people's life whenever Jesus comes and begins to exert authority and control in a person's life. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful person to have in control of your life. May you experience the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. We're going to talk some more about it here in the broadcast to come. But I pray today, don't wait till tomorrow. Start today allowing God to control those areas that are out of control in your life. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Find my